You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Seize the Moment. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
In Berlin and Belfast, in Cape Town and Calcutta, in Los Angeles and Lima, Moscow and Montreal, thousands upon thousands of Christians are today celebrating Palm Sunday. In every century, untold scores of Christ's followers have waved palm branches to remember that special day when Jesus rode 2 miles triumphantly from the village of Bethany into the ancient city of Jerusalem. On this day, the local people saw Jesus as a celebrity. For the man in the street on Palm Sunday, Jesus was a hero. This same Palm Sunday, however, reminds us of one of the greatest ironies and the greatest tragedies of all of history. Only a few days later, this same celebrity Jesus would be accused by the same crowd and declared guilty by a kangaroo court orchestrated primarily by the religious leaders of that time. On Sunday, Jesus was the heartthrob of the fickle mob, but on Friday of the same week, he was the victim of their blind hatred hanging from the bloody cross. The Bible says that on Palm Sunday morning, Jesus rode on a donkey toward Jerusalem. As the crowd moved, the people were spreading their garments in the road. And as Jesus approached the Mount of Olives, the entire multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. They were excited as they recalled all the miracles which they had seen Jesus perform. With a loud voice, they shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord! Peace in heaven and glory in the highest!" Oh, this was indeed a day to remember. But the Bible says that not everybody was happy. The Bible explains that some of Jesus' enemies, the Pharisees, said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." These Pharisees wanted Jesus to tell the celebrating crowds to be quiet. Jesus, however, answered the Pharisees and said, "I tell you, if these people become silent, the stones will cry out." The excitement was uncontrollable. Only if you and I know the historical background of the first Palm Sunday celebration, only then can we, in 1997, understand the reason for the excitement that filled the air of Palestine 2,000 years ago. On the night before Palm Sunday, on Saturday evening, friends of Jesus hosted a supper in honor of their master. This special event took place in the house of Simon the leper. Martha did the serving. It's important here to note that Jesus was not the only person in attendance who captured the attention of the local people. Lazarus was also there. You see, Lazarus was a local person who had died some time before and who Jesus had raised again from the dead. This miracle of miracles was not forgotten. And we can well imagine that the Palestine air was abuzz with all the talk and the excitement that Lazarus, who many knew absolutely for sure had been dead, was now alive and walking around again. We can also be sure that between Friday afternoon and Palm Sunday morning, there must have been a continuous stream of visitors passing through the streets of Bethany to hear the stories and to marvel at the miracles of Jesus and to hope, at least for a passing glance of either Jesus or Lazarus. Emotion mixed with excitement, and the excitement led to frenzy as Palm Sunday approached. Without a doubt, most people slept very little that Saturday night, and as a result, on Palm Sunday morning, the crowd in Bethany was probably larger than ever. The news of our Savior's presence moved quickly through the crowd like wind. "He is coming," they said. "Look, he is coming!" One crowd moved with him as they left the village of Bethany. At the same time, another crowd was forming in Jerusalem to meet Jesus on his way. For this grand procession, Christ's disciples had prepared a donkey and a colt for Jesus to ride. This arrangement, however, was not by accident. All of this was taking place, the Bible explains, to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy which says, rejoice greatly. O daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Oh, indeed, Jesus was more than a celebrity. He was more than a local person who did amazing things. Jesus was, and still is, your king and mine in 1997. Jesus is not our king in a human sense. Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And when he rides into our hearts and lives, he takes over. Christians are overjoyed to know that Christ rules and reigns in their hearts and lives. With Christ in one's life, the power of evil has to flee. Through God's gift of faith in Jesus, you and I become part of Christ's holy, wonderful, joyful kingdom. The concept of God's kingdom and Christ as king has always amazed biblical scholars. This is understandable. In our limited humanness, you and I might also be confused if Jesus were to come to us in 1997. Of course, we would expect Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, to ride into our city with pomp and with power. We might expect him to be riding in a bulletproof Mercedes-Benz or even a Rolls-Royce. But this was not the case for the first Palm Sunday. Jesus did not ride into the city with a show of power. Instead, Jesus came in humility, riding on a donkey. This was to signify that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. This teaching of Jesus needs to be stressed again and again today. How often don't you and I hear that if we believe in Jesus, we will be rich and successful? This is not what the Bible teaches. This self-centered religion clashes directly with the message Jesus gave us on Palm Sunday. When you and I identify with and follow Christ, we will not automatically become rich and famous. We may well be poor and unknown. We may also be asked by Jesus to carry the cross of suffering for his sake. Jesus' message on Palm Sunday was spiritual, not secular. This is also why, even from the very first Palm Sunday celebration, people have always waved palm branches. Today, Christians use hundreds and even thousands of palm branches to celebrate Palm Sunday. What a powerful symbol for the Christian church. In eastern lands with so many deserts, the palm tree has always symbolized life in a world of death. Because of its long life of about 200 years, the palm tree has always been a symbol of immortality. In short, the palm tree signifies life and joy, salvation and living hope. It is therefore no accident that on the first Palm Sunday, three symbols of life over death were present: palm branches and Lazarus and Jesus. The resurrected Lazarus and palm branches with Christ in the middle gave the local people of Palestine hope. This parade was a public demonstration that there is indeed life after death, and the entire celebration pointed to Jesus because everybody who saw Lazarus knew for sure that it was Jesus who had surely resurrected Lazarus from death to life. And this is also why you and I need to celebrate Palm Sunday today. Just as palm trees symbolized life in a dry desert, celebrating Palm Sunday in 1997 reminds you and me that there is life and hope in our world, a world that is so often filled with violence, hatred, and despair. My friend, let Palm Sunday be for you not just another day, but rather a time when you also are reminded once again that you too can have a living hope, and that your hope is grounded and built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, let me say this as we consider the emotion-filled Palm Sunday crowds. You and I must always be on constant alert for the deception of Satan. Oh, pray that God might open your eyes to see the connection that existed between the emotion of this Palm Sunday crowd and many of the religious activities that take place now in 1997. Today, you see, people often get together in large crowds and mass religious gatherings. They sing enthusiastically, and in the excitement of the moment, all earthly concerns are forgotten. However, too often today, with all the religious hoopla, the main point is missed and the key person is overlooked. Consider some of today's great religious celebrations. These extravaganzas are underwritten, oftentimes by thousands and even millions of dollars. Sadly, however, the focus is often not always on Jesus Christ. The emphasis is not directed heavenward. The purpose is not to glorify God. Instead, these man-centered exercises in religiosity are designed primarily to pump up emotions, to give people a momentary spiritual high, and to divert people for the moment from their concerns of the day. My friend, don't be deceived by Christless celebrations of emotionalism and all the spiritual hype. Whenever you hear a radio or a television announcement promising you a special religious experience, then be careful. Beware. Instead of jumping on the bandwagon, follow the example of Zacchaeus in the Bible. In Luke chapter 19, we read that one day Jesus was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He was rich, and when Jesus came to Zacchaeus' city, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. However, Zacchaeus had a problem. He was short in stature, and he could not see over the crowds. So Zacchaeus ran on ahead of the crowd, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree for a better view. Zacchaeus had the right idea. Instead of simply getting caught up in the hype and the frenzy and the emotion of the moment, he climbed up a tree. He did this, you see, in order to see what was going on. And when Zacchaeus observed the situation, he saw one thing very, very clearly. The center of all the attention was Jesus. This is a lesson for each of us today. Go to a local bookstore, look at the shelves that are filled with all kinds of religious materials and writings of popular gurus. Notice all the Far Eastern religions, cult groups, and all the rest. I recently visited a local bookstore. When I passed by the religious section, I noticed that several people were very interested in a section called New Age. Sadly, however, no one was looking at the Bibles and the Christian literature. And there is reason for this. You know, and I know, how easy it is to see the glitter and to miss the light, to pick the shell and to miss the kernel, to be distracted by the ribbon and to overlook the gift, to be impressed by the superficial and to overlook the heart, the core, and the key person in real religion, Jesus, the long-promised Messiah and the one who was crucified on the cross to pay for our sins and to be raised again for our justification. On this Palm Sunday, then, and every day, let us never forget the crowd that extolled Christ on Palm Sunday, but called for his execution the following Thursday. Truly, it is as the prophet Hosea says, "For your loyalty is like a morning cloud, and like the dew which goes away early." Consider also how many people today are being misled by New Age gurus. Newspapers tell us about Barbara Marx Hubbard. She teaches that the term Christ applies not to the biblical Lord and Savior of Palm Sunday, but rather to a perfected, self-authorized human collective, a community of natural Christs cooperating with each other and with God. Now, as odd and as anti-Christian and bizarre as these New Age teachings may sound, each of these secular, self-serving, and self-promoting gurus are misleading thousands. However, they are just like many in Jesus' day, who turned out on Palm Sunday to see the local religious celebrity. They were certainly well-intended. They sought self-satisfaction instead of spiritual soundness. They connected with religious hype and emotionalism, but they totally missed the key to life, Jesus, the crucified and resurrected Christ. And so then, the joyful and encouraging lesson of Palm Sunday for you today from the Bible is this. Focus your faith totally and alone on Jesus. Jesus is the center of all things. He is, the Bible says, before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is the key to life. Jesus is the foundation of hope. When we step back from the confusion of society, and when we observe all the fraudulent religions that are now misleading millions, then let us confess with great joy with the Apostle Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus, my friend, promises you total forgiveness for all of your sins, strength for a new life, and the certain hope of heaven. Blessed Heavenly Father, open the eyes of all people in every land, and for the sake of their souls, enable them to detect spiritual counterfeits and religious hucksters. O God of grace and your love, remind us regularly of the emotion-driven crowds during Passion Week who sang hosannas to Jesus on Sunday and cried, crucify him on Thursday. Enable us, O Lord, not to do the same, to sing hosannas in church on Sunday, but to deny a clear witness to Christ in our office or in our school on Monday. with your Son Jesus as our Lord, strengthen us to follow him from Bethany to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Calvary, and from Calvary to the empty tomb. Then, O Lord, point our eyes and our faith heavenward. There is no other way. To whom else shall we turn, O Lord? To whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Heavenly Father, bless the weak, strengthen the doubting, encourage the weary, and console the dying. Lord, we pray this prayer with confidence on Palm Sunday. Palms on Palm Sunday remind us that all our hope is in you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.